Our reading comes from the Old Testament. It comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and the first section. The first section of Psalm 119, that's verses 1 to 8. Psalm 119. Before I start, a couple of things need to be said about this psalm. This is the largest chapter in the book of the scriptures. It's got 22 parts. It's an acrostic psalm. That means that each section is to deal with a particular letter. The Hebrew alphabet has got 22 letters, so there are 22 sections here. So the first section, in some of your Bibles you might have the word Aleph on the top. That is the first letter of the Hebrew scriptures. So if you were to read this in Hebrew, you would notice that every verse would begin with an Aleph. The second section, the Beth section, every section would begin with the Beth and the Gimel and so on until you get to the last letter, the Tau. So this section here begins with an Aleph. So let's hear God's word. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Amen. Well, this psalm, the largest psalm, the largest chapter in our scripture, Psalm 119, and the first 8 verses. It's a psalm that is acrostic. It goes through the Hebrew alphabet. It goes from Aleph and goes right to the last letter, Tau. And it has 22 sections, and each of these sections begins with the letter. So the beginning of this psalm is the Aleph psalm. If you were to read commentaries and books about this psalm, they will say that this psalm is about the wondrous word of God. And I'm not a person to disagree with commentaries, apart from when they're wrong, and they are wrong. This psalm is not about the wonderful word of God. God has not given us his word so that we should worship his word. He has given us his word for other reasons. He has given us his word so that we may understand how we can be reunited with him. He has given us his word to show us what he is like. He has given us his word to show us what we are like. He has given us his word so that we may see wondrous things in his law and understand how wonderful his salvation is in Jesus Christ. The largest psalm, the largest chapter in the Bible, isn't there to glorify the words of God. It's there to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God. This psalm is a very interesting psalm when you look at it. It's really a diary. Psalm 119 is a diary of the Christian life. If you want to know what is the life of a believer, then read Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the A to Z of a believer's experience. That's what the psalm is all about. If you want to know how you should pray, read Psalm 119. If you want to know how you should live, read Psalm 119. If you want to know how wonderful God is, read Psalm 119. Now, at the beginning of anything, you want to find out how to get in. So, how do you get into a believer's life? How do you become a believer? That's what the first section is all about. And this is an acrostic psalm. That means that every verse begins with the same letter. The A, the start, the beginning. How are you right with God? Who are the people that God looks upon with a smile? You see, this verse, this psalm begins with the word blessed. And there are two words in Hebrew for blessed. There's the word in verse 1, Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And then there's the other word in verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. And they are different words. The word in verse 12 means the person who deserves honor and glory, the person who should be worshipped. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. So when Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, he is using the term, be praised, be honored. You alone are to be worshipped. But this verse here, at the start, blessed. This word here, if you're to translate it properly, I would probably translate it with more than just one word. I would translate it in a term. The ones that God smiles upon. These are the ones that God smiles upon. And so when we go to the Sermon on the Mount and we start off, blessed are the poor in spirit. These are the ones that God smiles upon. Blessed are those who mourn. These are the ones that God smiles upon. Who is it that God smiles upon? You know, when you're a parent and you go into a school and there's a school play on and there are 50 or 60 children on the stage and you're smiling and you're enjoying the performance, but your smile isn't for all the children. You are looking for your child and you're smiling at your child. And here in Psalm 119, it begins. Who is it that God smiles upon in this world? There are people and they say, I'm a person that God loves. I'm a person that God smiles upon. And you say, well, how do you know that? How do you know? How do you know that God is happy with you? How do you know that God is content with your life? How do you know that you are right with God? How do you know that? Psalm 119, the first section. If this is about the life of a believer, this first section does it. And the first verse is a summary, is a title, is an explanation of the whole section. Who are the ones that God smiles upon? Does God smile upon you? You know, you may feel bad, you may feel discouraged, you may feel weak, you may feel ill, you may feel old, you may feel tired, but it doesn't affect your relationship with your family. Just because you feel these things doesn't affect your relationship with God. So how do you know that God is smiling on you? Well, the first verse tells us, and then the rest explains it. So what's the first verse say? Because I'm going to go through verses 1-8, God willing. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We have the declaration that God smiles. God is smiling on certain people. Through every generation, through every time, God smiles on certain individuals. Not everyone. Not everyone does God love with an enormous love, with a love of grace and of mercy. But God does love. And there are particular people. And who are they? Well, we're told here that there are two characteristics that these people have. The first is in the start of the verse. The second is in the second of the verse. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. These are the two characteristics. Who is it that God smiles upon? Well, the first thing we're told is they are undefiled in the way. Now, this word is a passive word. It doesn't mean that they have done it. You see, what's happening here? They're undefiled. That means they're clean. They're not dirty. They have been washed. That's what he's saying. The people that God smiles upon, the people that are right with him, have been washed. They were once dirty, but now they are clean. Do you see what David here is writing? Do you see what God has told him? He said, the people that I love are people who are clean. Clean hands, pure heart. They have been washed. They have been cleaned. So the first question you have to ask yourself, if you think you're right with God, then this must be true of you. You have been washed. You have been cleansed. So what have you been cleansed from? You've been cleansed from your sins, obviously. You have been cleansed from your filth and your garments, which were dirty because of your life, because of your nature, because of your very being. That has been changed. God has taken them and has removed them. You have been washed. You have been cleansed. You have been sanctified. You have been set apart. You are now holy. The holy ones of God. And this is what David said. He says, now, the Christian life, the life of a believer is written in the A to Z of the life of a believer is here. But the start of a life of a believer comes with cleansing. Are you washed? Are you cleansed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You see, there's only one way you can be cleansed. You can't clean yourself. This word here, undefiled, means that somebody else has done it. God has done it to you. God has done it to me. He has cleansed me. Once I was not his people, but now I am his people. Once he was not my God, but now he is my God. My sins, he took them away. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, are nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. David here says that the people who are loved by God, the people that God looks at through the world, he has his eye on them, and he smiles. They delight him. They're the apple of his eye. He delights in them. Why? Because he has cleansed them. They have been washed. How do you get this cleansing? Well, it's quite straightforward. In the Old Testament, it was continually about blood. It was continually about death. The soul that sins shall die. And so every morning and every evening, there would be a lamb slain. A lamb would be slain. And that lamb would be the sin bearer of the people. And not only was a lamb slain, but if you committed a particular sin, then you were to take a sacrifice and you were to take it to the priest and you were to put your hand on it and confess your sin, and this creature would be killed in your place. And then on a certain day, the Day of Atonement, all the people of Israel would gather together and the high priest would go in with the blood of bulls and goats and rams and lamb. And he would put his hand on the beast and confess the sins of the people, and there would be atonement at one. At one meant we would be made at one with God. The people of God would be forgiven. But they knew that the next day they would need cleansing again, because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't remove the sin that we do daily. But every morning and every evening, lambs would be slain constantly. And then John the Baptist comes in the New Testament. And he looks and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and he points his finger and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not just the Jew only, but also to the Greek. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And here David is looking forward to the creature, to the one that God sends into the world, who will save him, the Messiah. And now we look back to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for his people. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. You see, we're all in the way. We're all walking in God's world. We're all going to have to give an account to God on the last day. It's his world. He's given us life. He's given us breath. He's given us opportunities. He's given us everything. We are walking in the way. But every day we make mistakes, every day we sin, every day, and there will be an account. But God has laid on him the iniquities of us all, and the us all are the ones who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his people. Does God smile on you? If he does, it's because he has cleansed you. If you are not clean, then you need to do that. You need to do what they did in the Old Testament. You need to take your hand, you need to place it on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to confess your sins. God, have mercy on me. Forgive me my sins because of what Jesus Christ has done for sinners. That's what they say all the time. That's the only way. But you see, it's not just that. We have two legs to walk. If you only have one leg, you're not going to get very far. And here we have two legs, two characteristics that identify a person that God smiles about. It isn't just being cleansed. It isn't just about cleansed and having your sins forgiven. It's about your walk. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. There is this twofold mark of a believer. A person who has been cleansed will also walk in a different way. You are now changed, and so you will live as a different person. The Lord Jesus Christ was talking about the Pharisees, and he said they've never been washed. They've never been cleansed. They're like clean on the outside, but inside there's death, filth. But they've never been changed. How do we know? By their fruit you shall know them. How do they walk? How do they walk? And here we're told they walk in the law of the Lord. What God says is law. We make mistakes. We make errors. But when we read in the scriptures that we should be doing this, it's law and we should be doing it. And we want to do it. That's how we walk. That is the characteristic of our steps. I knew a lady and we went out once to my mother. And we were going to a place of interest. It was Napoleon's land, Corsica. We went around Corsica, and for some reason there'd been lots of dogs there. And dogs had left presents all over the floor. And my mother said, "Watch out where you're putting your feet. Watch where you walk." The devil, the world, sin has left presents for us all around. How are we to walk? The ones who God smiles on are undefiled in the way, and they walk in the law of the Lord. We watch where we put our feet. We watch according to what God has told us in the scriptures. How do I know what is right and wrong? How do I know how I should behave? How do I know how I should think? How do I know how to witness to people? It's the word of God. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. That's the start. This is the start of the start. And they go together. You can't have a person, you know, well, you can. You have people and they say, "Well, I'm a Christian. How? Because I'm this, I do this, I do that, I do this." The start isn't that. David doesn't say there, "Blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord." That isn't how the verse starts. That isn't how the Christian life starts. That isn't the one that God smiles on. God smiles on those who have been cleansed. They have been cleansed. And then they walk. Dead men walking. There are dead women walking. They haven't been made alive to Christ and they can't live to Christ. And so David here starts, he says, "Now then, this is the start of the Christian life. You have to be washed. You have to be cleansed. God has to do it. And then you're going to be able to walk in the law of the Lord." So what does that mean? Let's go through it quickly. What does it mean then? Well, it means that you are blessed. It means that God smiles on you. If this is true of you, if these two things are true of you and one follows the other as night follows day, they will go and God will bless you. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. We have the life of a Christian described in verse 2 and 3. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. We keep them. We hold them close. They are precious to us. His word isn't a strange thing. We don't look at the scriptures and all the time we think, "Well, this is rubbish, this is nonsense, I'm not going to read it." When we come to it, we sometimes read it and on those days that God is kind to us, we look and we see things that we hadn't seen before. And we're amazed at it and we think, "I've never seen that before in that chapter. I've read that chapter 3 or 4 times before." We are blessed because we keep his testimonies. We hold it close to us. His testimonies, the words that he says, that he is speaking to us. Testimonies are something that we say to somebody else when we want them to know something about us that is so personal and so intimate. And we're telling them, not offhand, we're testifying. And we keep them. And we seek him with the whole heart. They read the scriptures, and when they read the scriptures, they seek God. Remember what the Lord said to those people in the New Testament, the Pharisees and the scribes: "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life." They'd have said Psalm 119 is all about how wonderful the word of God is. But I tell you, it is they which testify of me. Verse 2, what is our life like? Our life is one that we want to keep God's word and we seek him. That's who we seek when we read the scriptures. We seek him with the whole heart. God has enabled us to seek him and to find him. And that's a characteristic of the ones that God loves, of the believer. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his way. Now this is a verse and we look at it and we think, oh, a bit uncomfortable here. They do no iniquity. The tense there is a continual tense. That means they do it and they keep doing it. They are addicted to it. They can't stop. There is no end of their iniquity. The believer sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A believer sins. We make mistakes. We make errors. And Christians need to accept that about themselves and about other believers. If your brother sins 7 times, 70 times 7, you're to forgive him. Forgive us our sins if we forgive them that trespass against us. It's a given. Believers make mistakes. So what is this verse saying? This verse is saying that somebody who is a believer, someone that God has their eye on, is somebody who is living and fighting sin. Sin is not what characterizes you. It doesn't. They shall do no iniquity. They don't stay in that miry pit. They're not stuck down. Though I may fall 7 times, yet I shall arise. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. A believer is somebody who is fighting and is getting up and is walking, is hobbling, is limping to heaven. They do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Why is it that we do sin? Why is it that we make mistakes? There's no reason for it. If we look at it logically, if God has changed us and we have a new heart, why is it that we make mistakes? It's there. In verse 3. They walk in his ways who do no iniquity. When we stop doing what God wants us to do, we will be doing what we shouldn't be doing. That's a simple fact. When we're not doing God's works, when we're not in God's way, we'll be on another way. Remember that John Bunyan wrote about that, about the pilgrims, and they went over because the way was a little bit difficult and they thought that this meadow was better, and they go over into Bypass Meadow because they thought it was easier. And then the problem, the despair and the destruction and the awfulness they had because they'd gone off the way. Here it is. They also do no iniquity. How do you stop sin in your life? How do you stop sin ruling your life and dominating you? You need to be washed. You need to be cleansed. You need to walk in his ways. That's the characteristic. And why should we? Well, verse 4 says here, we've got the description, and now we've got verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Why should we live this way? He has told us. He has commanded us. Now we've got a picture. David says now, God is your commanding officer. He is the general. And you are a private. You are a soldier in the army of God. What does he say? He says, servants. No, soldiers. Arise. Put your armor on. And what does he say about that? What do we say as soldiers? You're in the army. And you're drafted. And the commanding officer says, stand to attention. You say, well, I don't feel like it today because, you know, today. Stand to attention! And you stand. And you're afraid. But you obey. Why? He has commanded. Your commanding officer has commanded you. And the people behind you are doing exactly the same. Why? Because they've been commanded too. Why should we keep his precepts? Well, it's a great blessing in keeping his law, but he has commanded him. He has commanded us. Sometimes we have difficulty. Sometimes our emotions don't want to do what the word says. Our feelings don't want to do it. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be taking up a cross. Take up your cross and follow me. I have commanded you. Repent. It's a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a command. Why? When the time gets tough and we're having difficulties fighting sin, we've got to stop. We've got to grab ourselves and we say, my commanding officer has commanded. He has commanded me. You have commanded us. Us to keep your precepts diligently. It's not just for me. It's for others as well. I am part of the army of God in this world. And I am to live as I ought to. And we don't when we stop obeying him, the commanding officer. But then you see, this psalm, I told you, is like a diary of a believer's life. And it's realistic. And it's honest. And verse 5 follows verse 4. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here it is. David, at the start of the psalm, and he puts these things there. He said, you've been commanded. But he knows. He knows he is weak. He knows that in him dwelleth no good thing. He knows that he is a wretched man. He knows that he needs the Lord to help him. And he cries out, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Christian, don't think it a strange thing when you face temptation and you fail. Don't think it's a strange thing. That's what happens. That's why we need a saviour. So often we are Hollywood Christians. You know, a Hollywood film where there's a boy and there's a girl, and the whole point of the film is that they meet. And I'm saying this now, but probably in 20 years' time I won't be able to say it. And the Hollywood film, they meet, they fall in love, they get married, and they live happily ever after. There are Hollywood Christians out there. And they believe that their testimony is how they became a Christian. That's their testimony. And you say to them, well, what's your testimony? And they say, oh, I became a Christian in 1982. And then they tell you all that. But it's 2015. So your Christian life stopped then. That's not a testimony. That's how you were converted. We must realize that it's our daily walk. We must continue. We must walk. We must go on with the Lord in the light of his word. That's what we are to do. And here, David is saying, I know these things. I know what I'm like, and I'm looking ahead. I'm a realist. I'm not a Hollywood Christian who thinks that now I'll be happy all the day. I'm looking and there's going to be trouble, there's going to be difficulty, there'll be trials, there'll be tribulations, there'll be nakedness, there'll be the sword, there'll be problems. And I know it. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. You know, the statutes are markers. They're markers. If you imagine that you're walking and your walk is near a cliff, and God has put markers, don't go past here. These are your boundaries. Oh, that we kept within God's boundaries. He knows it. And when the Lord tells us to pray daily, he puts that in, doesn't he? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. You've gone over the boundary. You've trespassed. You've gone over the boundary. But then David doesn't stop then. He goes on. Because he goes on and he says, now I've got to think. I've got to think about this. Now I know I'm going to suffer. I know that. But I've got to realize what the whole point is. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. That's what he's saying. You know, your Christian life. As you go through the hymn book. And there are lovely sections, aren't there? There are sections of praise and worship. And confession and the nature of God and the walk. Sometimes we can't sing some of those hymns. Sometimes we don't want to pray. Sometimes we don't want to read the Bible. Sometimes we don't want to meet a Christian. Why? Because we haven't walked as we should have done. Because we feel guilty. See, God is there. He is working in us. He has sent his Spirit to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And he moves us. And here David is saying, now, if I sin, if I don't keep your commandments, then I'd be ashamed. But if I keep them, I will not be ashamed. I'd be able to stand when I look into all your commandments. He's not talking about singing hymns here. He's talking about reading the scriptures. All your commandments. Have you noticed that certain Christians who are weak in certain areas, when it comes to that passage in the Bible, they have major problems with it? Oh, I don't like Paul. Oh, I don't like that part of the Bible. Oh, I think that's a bit tough. I don't think that was inspired. And so they have these little bits. They're like that president of America who'd cut out everything in the Bible he didn't like. Now, here we're told that if we're walking properly, then we will not be ashamed when we look into all your commandments. When we read his word which is a light to show us what needs to be removed. If God makes us ashamed when we look into his commandments, then it means we've got to remove it. He shone a light there, and it's a blessing to us. And we're to thank him. And we're to confess our sin, knowing he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And we're to walk on with him. Can't two walk together unless they are agreed? I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Christian is going to be in the word learning God's righteous judgment. We will be able to praise him with a upright heart correctly because we know him and we're walking. Our walk and our praise go together. It's not what we sing that makes praise, making melody in your heart. They worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to me. Here David is saying the believer. The believer is a realist and knows that there is blessing. That God will help him and he must carry on and he must look. He must search the scriptures and find any wickedness and ask God to remove it from him. That's what he must ask. John Berridge, evangelical preacher, and the Methodists, he was an Anglican, but he was a Methodist, they called him as an insult, in the 18th century. And he'd been not converted, but he was in the ministry. And he worked in this church, and nothing happened for 5 years, and he thought, I need a new place. It's the people. So he went to a little place called Everton, and he was there. And the same thing happened. He had the same sermons, and he had the same results. And one Christmas, he'd been there about 2 years. One Christmas, he sat down and he prayed to God. He said, Lord, if I am wrong, show me how I am wrong. But if I am right, then help me in Jesus. And he prayed that for 2 days because he wanted to know. And then it struck him. Cease from your works. Struck him. By grace you were saved through faith. Not by works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Cease from your works. He learnt. He learnt, and then he started preaching. Forgiveness. Free in the Lord Jesus Christ. A washing from God, from above. And then we can walk. He was telling the people to walk before they were clean. Now he was telling them to come and be clean, and then you can walk. And here David says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. We cannot come and praise God aright if we're not right with God. That's what he's saying there. And the way we're right with God is by being cleansed and by walking. And then David stops because he's come to the end of this first section. He stops with a resolution. I will keep your statutes. That's what he says. I will keep your statutes. You have cleansed me. You have enabled me. You are with me. I will keep your statutes. That's his determination. That's his right leg and his left leg. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. The Christian life is balance. He is a balanced Christian. He has determined to keep God's statutes, to keep his laws, to keep his ways, to keep the things that God has given to him. But he knows he cannot do it on his own. Now, there is sovereignty and there is man's responsibility. We are responsible for how we live. And God is sovereign. And the two go together. Charles Spurgeon was asked once, Mr. Spurgeon, could you reconcile God's sovereignty and man's responsibility? Mr. Spurgeon, quite a wise man, looked to him. He said, I cannot, because there is no need to reconcile two friends. You see, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility are like two tracks going together. The train can only function on the tracks if the tracks are perfectly going together. And here we have it. I will keep your statutes, O do not forsake me utterly. We are Christians by God's grace, but we are Christians. We are to live by God's grace, but we're to live. But it's by God's grace. It's a conundrum which we can think about, but I think it's pointless thinking about it because it's a truth and we just accept it. It is a truth. Some things we accept because they are true and we don't really understand it. Oh, you're a stupid Christian. Am I? If I asked you to switch on the light, would you be able to explain to me how the electricity gets into that socket and then up into there? No, of course you don't. But you know that when you press the button, the light comes on. Does that mean you're stupid? If I ask you, can you drive a car? And you say, yes, I can drive a car. If I ask you, do you know how it works? You wouldn't have a clue, yet you use it. There are some truths in the scriptures that we use and we accept, even though we don't understand them. Truly, they are too marvelous for us. This is God. How do we understand God? We are human beings. And yet, we are told that these two go together and we are to take them together as friends, not as enemies to pit against each other. And here David ends his psalm. Who are the people that God smiles on? They are the people who are determined to keep his statutes and that pray to him for grace and mercy and help every step they make. Every step they're praying and they're asking, oh, do not forsake me utterly. Do not leave me alone. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of the life. Why? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That's why. And here we have the start of a believer's diary. Psalm 119. Who are the people that God smiles on? Those who have been washed by God. Those who walk in his law. If we don't, then we should. If you haven't been washed, then go to the Lord Jesus Christ to be washed and to be cleansed and then walk. If you have been washed, then thank God that he has washed you and keep walking because God is with you. God is with all those who put their trust in him. He is a great God. He is a glorious Saviour, and he will keep all his people to the end. And there will be no end with God, because God is from everlasting to everlasting. We shall endure, because God is with us. I will keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Amen.